to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise. Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
No one wanted to talk about the peer study. No one wants to even talk about it. Why? You're going to lose your
license. Yeah.
You're going to lose your tenure. You're going to lose your research. You're going to lose, you know, everything. Okay. No one's going to talk about it. Isn't that a shame?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. And then you look at the people trying to poke holes in it and they couldn't.
No, there's no way around it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this is, I'm saying the American Heart Association, well, who is paying them?
Right. Right.
And you look at their funding, and of course, you know, I don't know why they want to come out and say, well, the intermittent fasting is bad and it's going to kill you and give heart disease. Well, you already know by reading, you know, what I've written.
Yeah.
That it's tremendously beneficial to your heart.
And just so people know, you made a good point. The longer, now there's a period there where if you go too long, of course, but the longer you go, there's your insulin is less, your spike in blood sugar levels, the heart is more relaxed, there's less toxins in the body. You said the mitochondria, which is in the cell, is being cleansed. You know, autophagy with the self-consuming, that's what the word means. It means it's going through, right. It's consuming. So if you're eating, actually, you can't have both. Maybe a slight degree, but you can't have both autophagy and cleaning going on if you're constantly eating. I mean, it's just right. One or the other. So, I mean, it just, and even biblically speaking, I mean, you don't have to eat every, I don't think they had an AM PM on every corner.
No. I tell my patients, look, this is the default state of man. And they're going, what? Okay, look, 8 billion people on the planet. Most of them live this way. What? Well, not intentionally, not knowingly. Right. They just don't have a fridge, a pantry, a quick trip, fast food,
right.
Grocery stores full of processed food. No, they don't have that. And so they might eat, they could eat 3 meals a day, but they could eat 2 meals or 1 meal. And that's the way mankind has always lived.
Right.
We here in this country, we're the oddballs.
Yep, we are.
We've gone to the extreme. But to go back to the note, you know, about all these things that happen and these benefits, you know, when you do fast, it has an effect. After you fast, your growth hormone goes up. And it goes up significantly. I don't know if you've looked
1,000%, right?
It's like
15 hours or 24 hours or 36.
Yeah. And so you get all of these incredible benefits. And what does that translate to? Increased stem cells.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're talking, just to clarify, we're talking primarily at this point, if people can just drink water. Because they're wondering, oh, can I have lots of juice? Well, there's your fructose and your insulin. And I mean, we're talking about mainly just having water to get that deep cleaning. And I know different people, I mean, 12 hours, 16, 24, you know, there's so much we could go into, which you did in your book. I have, as far as, you know, talk to your physician, what medication are you on? There's some people that shouldn't fast if you're having kidney issues and because your kidney is going to work over. So but we're talking about the average person. Try going 12, 16, 24 hours just drinking water. I mean, is that I'm sure, because people want some practical application too.
And that's exactly what I have my patients do. And I tell them, look, I don't expect you to start off with this. Some of them decide they're going to do it. You know, I'm going to go for it. And I go, it's kind of hard if you're not used to it. Yeah. And it takes a little bit of turning on the genetic machinery. Okay, to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I tell them, start off with, you know, if you're at 12 hours, anyone can do that. I go to 14, work it out, try going to 16. I like 18. Okay. But I'm not fixed on that. There are a lot of people that like the 20 hour fasting, 4 hour window.
Right.
And that's fine too. I don't have a problem with that, as long as they're getting all the nutrient the nutrients they need.
And that's,
that's kind of the key, though. I mean, drink, fasting, well, we're talking as short intermittent fast there, but making sure they're getting nutrient-dense foods and adequate protein. And I know we'll talk about that after.
But also, what about extended fasting?
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say was the 3 to 4 day, and I have people do that. But even the most staunch people, that they could never go past 12 hours, and they're shaky and sweaty and headachy. And okay, they come back to me and they say, "You won't believe what happened." And I go, "Hmm." And they tell me that, "Oh yeah, I went 24 hours. I finally made it there. And then I went to 36. And then I went," and then they come back and they say, hey, my wife and I, we just finished a 4 day fast." And I go, "What? Well, you told us about it." And I go, "Well, yeah, I didn't expect you to do it, though."
Yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned in the book about autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
And this one couple that I just mentioned, you know, he had rheumatoid arthritis. And he says, "This is crazy." So after months, he says,
"Gone.
My injections, these big expensive drugs that he was having to pay for, the time interval, you know, because he was going injection to injection and having pain halfway through the middle of it." Mm-hmm. And he says, "Now I can go to the point where I'm not having any pain, and I don't know that I need the injection." Well, his blood markers were fine. It was remarkable. So he says, "Wow, so if I just periodically do this, it seems like I can downregulate it." But it's a very complex thing when you're dealing with the immune system. But
is it autoimmune? Isn't that the number one prescription? What we have take the most prescription for is right now is autoimmune disease.
The most expensive ones.
Yeah, and they're caused by either toxicity, right, or deficit. If there's nutrient deficits or toxicity building up in the thyroid or different areas.
With regards to autoimmune.
Yeah.
It's linked mostly with the gut.
Okay. Yeah, gut bacteria, microbiome.
Okay. It's the interaction of the immune system with within excuse me, the gut wall, and it's rather complex, but it has to do with the microbiome and the wrong bacteria proliferating, intestinal ability, inflammation of the gut lining, and proteins leaking across, or partially digested proteins leaking across, interacting with the immune cells, and you end up having this thing. So this thing start with your immune system attacking yourself. There's so many other factors. It's mind blowing. But with the intermittent fasting, though, or fasting, or the autophagy, what it does is, When you go into fasting, it causes your it causes your monocytes to go down. It causes your mTOR, which you're familiar with. Your mTOR is downregulated. It activates AMPK. So you're going to go more towards M2 macrophages, which are those are your healthy macrophages, to the M1, and M1 is just the opposite. So when your mTOR goes up, your M1 goes up, and you don't want the M1, it's inflammatory. But the fasting triggers down regulation of your T17 cells with autoimmune disease. And okay. T17, you've heard of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it changes the Treg to T17 ratio, and with that imbalance, when you get the imbalance, you end up increasing that. But this is part of how this happens. The SIRT1 gene, which gets flipped, that's the anti-aging gene, of course, but the SIRT1 pathway, it gets flipped, and all these crazy things happen. So you get hypoxia inducible factor, alpha, 1 alpha, something like that, that causes a downregulation of your T17s. Okay, those are the ones that are driving this autoimmune. So immediately this patient is going, wow, what happened? Mm-hmm. I've had that happen with, I've treated many patients, but if I can get them into this, I'll put them on a 7 to 10 day water fast. And people say, well, that's crazy. I mean, just the idea of going, but you know, you've done this. And once you go past about 2 days, your ketones are high enough and it shuts off, you know, your appetite's gone.
Yeah.
Your energy is still there. Your mind is very clear. And people will think, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose all my muscle. Well, you don't lose it that quick.
How much you really lose? I've been meaning to ask you that. What would you say in a 1 week fast? I mean, because there's your body goes into muscle sparing mode because of our creator. You know, he
right.
Our muscle spare. But however, I think in that process, isn't there a little bit of gluconeogenesis where your muscle is broken down? But did they ever know? Because I've seen other like Buchenheimer in Germany has 250 calories of juice. They say there's hardly any muscle broken down.
No, there's very little initially. And then you start breaking it down the longer you go into it.
Okay.
But if you're doing a 7 day, you're really not, that's really not a long,
yeah.
Super fast.
True.
But I mean, I know you've done longer fast and, I mean,
how would you encourage someone to just, you know, would you say begin weaning off of coffee and sugar and processed food so it's a little more pleasant?
Yeah,
well, that's why people don't fast. I mean, hunger is one thing, but to me, hunger's nothing compared to the withdrawal symptoms.
Right.
Of, you know.
Right. So I tell them, look, this is all overwhelming. Okay. You know, when you get this information, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. Oh my gosh, I can't do all this. No, it's really simple. It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
It's just basic principles. And I tell them, I don't teach diets. I teach lifestyle principles. And diets all work. They all fail, but this will work for you. I want you to take one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll take them off. Okay. Something simple. Oh my gosh. Sodas. People drink sodas. Okay. Or they're drinking a lot of fruit juice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's natural. And I thought, well, you know, is it natural to like eat 6 or 8 oranges at one time?
No.
I go, have an orange.
Yeah.
And I tell them, look, just make a few little steps. And if you can do that, you know, small, sure, steady steps lead to success. Okay. That's what I want you to do. And, you know, I just keep them on a short lead and I bring them back and, you know, the shortest or the longest would be 4 weeks. I bring them back at 4 weeks at least, mm-hmm. But if I need to, even shorter, but I'll just say, this is what you do next. This is what you do next. But I try to extend their, you know, their little fasting window farther and farther along. And of course, that is, you know, you're hitting the CERT1 gene, which is turning on insulin sensitivity. It's your fat burning is also being optimized. It's like going to the gym. You know, you go once a month, you're not going to see anything. If you go 2 or 3 times a week, you're going to start seeing changes right away. So I tell them, this is what you're doing. You're training your body and it will adjust. And that's why... for instance, people doing the keto diet, they start and they get the keto flu. What is the keto flu?
Okay. Your body's adapting. Yeah.
Yeah. Your body's adapting. Headaches, sweats, nausea. Oh, I feel awful. I've got the keto flu. Well, that's just turning on the machinery. Now you can do it slowly. You don't have to go into it full force, but it usually disappears after about 5 days.
Yeah.
And that's, we'll tell people that, but, it's pretty amazing what people can do. I mean, be it reversing diabetes or reversing hypertension, or if they're doing it for weight loss, or I'm doing it for autoimmune disease, or I'm doing it for, my gosh, I'm even doing it with my cancer patients.
Yeah,
which is crazy, but example with how some guy that came in with a big guy from Barbados, and he had hypertension, he was obese, and he had diabetes uncontrolled on medication. So I just kind of gave him these principles, and I didn't see him again for 5 months.
Wow.
And he comes back in, and I check his A1C, and I go, it's the same as mine.
Wow.
And he says, I stopped my medication. I stopped my diabetes medication. Well, before, you know, I think C was 7.6.
Right.
And now he's, you know, below 5.7. I think he was 5.5. And he's on nothing. Okay. And he says, oh, I stopped my blood pressure medicine. Okay. His blood pressure is 110 over 70.
Is he still losing weight?
Oh, he lost weight, you know. And so anyway, he was just, you know, he's a big, let's see, how old was he? 42. Okay. I mentioned he's from Barbados, big guy. Yeah. 6'2". He went from obese down to overweight all the way to, I said, you're borderline overweight, but I don't think you're borderline overweight. I think you have muscle mass in 5 months. Yeah.
What
yeah. And
did he minimize? Because in your book, you mentioned something that might work for a lot of people, that 600 calorie diet, you know, it's just enough to where you're not, you know, the fasting whores are kept at bay.
Right.
But it's just enough to get through life. And I'm wondering, is there amount of calories that do retain muscle? Like at 800 calories, you're still retaining muscle as long as your protein intake is high.
Yeah. So I told you before about some of those patients I was putting on a protein sparing modified fast.
Yeah.
And I was giving men, the minimal amount for men was like 70 grams and women 55.
Okay.
That's not a lot, but it was enough to spare protein. In fact, measuring their muscle mass as we were going on, you know, through the course, because sometimes I would have people on this for over a year.
Whoa.
Okay. Before I would re-alimentate them, you know, start eating regular food again.
Was it low calorie the whole time, or you'd increase?
Yeah, very, very low calorie. The men, it was around 600 to 650, something like that.
Okay.
The women were a little bit less, but they stayed on that. They had, you know, all the vitamins and nutrients they needed, but we were able to actually build muscle. So the people that they couldn't exercise because they were so big,
right.
But you know, after, you know, you drop down 100 pounds, wow, now we can start doing something.
Yeah.
Not that they couldn't, but some people, you know, their ankles were weak. There was too much weight. And, you know, the next thing you know, they're going to the gym, building muscle. Okay. So not losing muscle, but building muscle. Because I could measure that in my office. And I was doing that back in the late 80s. I think I started in 87 doing that.
I might have interrupted you with the guy with Barbados, but he got down a good weight in 5 months. How much was he eating during that 5 month period?
Okay. I did not put him on keto. I didn't take him off carbs. I just told him how to eat carbs. So, the principle I told him was that, okay, no processed carbs. You're going to eliminate all processed carbs. And he took notes and he said, yeah, okay. So we're trying to get the glucose curve not to spike.
Too much.
But to go in and reach all your next eating time without making fat. Kind of like that. So I tell them the two things that you need to focus on: nutrient dense, more above ground vegetables than below ground. The above ground vegetables have lots of fiber, and the fiber is going to slow down your glucose absorption.
Right.
Wow, it's all engineered. And the fiber is going to feed your microbiome, which is going to work in your favor for this whole weight loss thing.
And to your point about juice, eating six oranges, eating an orange with the juice, the pectin, I don't know if there's pectin there, but the fiber, the content, all of that slows down the rate.
Right.
The orange juice, because that's how God created us too.
Right. Yeah. But then we could take too much of that. Okay. All at once. Yeah. And okay. Yeah. So I'm not going to eat six or eight oranges. I'm just going to have an orange and it's actually fine. I'm not going to get a spike like that. I'm going to get a curve like that. So I tell them the fiber in your food is going to slow that down, and you use it as a fuel and you get those nutrients. The second thing is the protein content. You need to have protein with your meals. And if you have protein, what is it? Your protein comes in with your other macros, your fats, carbs, proteins into the stomach. And the stomach is what? A pre-digestive pouch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What does the stomach have in it?
Acid.
Hydrochloric acid. That's to prepare the protein, okay? The carbs and fats don't get a free pass. They have to wait. Sorry, you came in with protein. You're going to have to wait. We're going to empty slower. Oh my gosh, I ate that steak. It's just sitting on my stomach. Well, it is, okay? And as the stomach slows down, it's emptying, coming into the duodenum, okay, that's where all the glucose is going to be absorbed, right? So if you slow down the gastric emptying, you're going to slow down the curve. And so the curve goes like that. Without, you know, if you had some Chinese meal with lots of noodles or whatever, and, you know, later you're having problems. So anyway, those two things, the fiber, the vegetables, and the protein, and we're going to just have a nice smooth curve. That's what I told the guy. He came back and he said that I know you told me to go in slowly, but he says, it's from Barbados.
So what would you estimate? Maybe around 2,000 calories a day he had? I mean, I guess it just
weight loss. He probably did. He says, he was a good sized guy, 6'2", and he had probably about that amount. I went over his diet and it was really healthy.
Yeah, he would lose. And, that whole thing, I mean, protein's such a big debate. I don't want to mention doctors' names, but a lot of them, people follow fasting. And they talk about, no animal products and just, we don't need a lot of protein. And when you look at their physique, you can kind of tell that they're also very frail. And I know they're finding as we get older, especially, that lean muscle mass is really, really important. And then you can't get the protein content that you need. And I don't know why we were designed just to have plants only. Maybe the soil was different. Maybe, we God said you can have meat after the flood. So I don't know how people made it. Maybe the environment, the ozone, the structure, the who knows? But I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah. No, I have. And a lot of it is just conjecture. But absolutely. We were designed to eat plants, but meat came along. But he also enabled us to, the whole Old Testament is full of meat eating. Okay.
And I got to throw this out there because I am curious your thoughts. I've went back and forth largely because of the influence of others. Because when I was in the health and fitness industry, I was overseeing, a lot of personal trainers, maybe 50, 60 of them, looking at their programs. I never was really certified, but I had a well-balanced knowledge on different things. But, the big thing was energy in, energy out. And then recently, early 2000s, and I can say even like Jason Fung, I'm sure you followed him and others. Yeah. Where they're just, it doesn't matter. Calories don't matter. It's hormones. And even a friend of mine, Dr. Daniel Pompa, we've talked about this before. And I understand it. It is hormones because a lot of it. But if you're taking in more energy than your body needs, you're going to store it. I mean, so calories, it's not like you can just eat 4,000 calories and, calories don't matter. They actually do matter.
Yeah.
I think is that, yeah. Because if you eat too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as the protein goes, I've had bodybuilders that came in and I had to tell them, I go, look, you're diabetic. And how can I be diabetic? I don't need any carbs. Okay. Well, to start off with, okay. So you're consuming 3 dozen eggs. Okay. a day. Okay, just egg whites, okay, but 3 dozen eggs. And then you have 2 big slabs of this meat, okay? And it's huge amounts. You're talking so much protein that it was, it's gluconeogenesis. You're breaking it all down and you're forming glucose. So with the keto diet, you know, if people aren't, you know, they say, I don't understand, you know, I'm down to 20 grams of carbs, but I can't lose any, you know, how come I'm not in ketosis? Well, they're either not taking in enough fat or they're taking in too much protein, because the protein is going to be converted into glucose, gluconeogenesis. Yeah. And so you're going to end up storing it. So kind of interesting. Most people don't do that. But as far as, you know, the how much, as far as you know, grams per kilo or grams per pound. Yeah, the amount that I was telling you with the very low calorie diet, that is more like about 0.8 grams per kilo, mm-hmm. if I recall right. Yeah, but other people will vary on that. So I'm not fixated on one number. I don't believe in. I don't believe in counting calories, but I tell people you may need to do that initially just to figure out, wow, I really am consuming a lot. Wow. Maybe I should shut that down and decrease my sizes. But I don't want them to fixate on it. But I do tell them, I want you to initially learn the content. If you're buying food that has labels, I go, find out how many grams of carbs you're taking in every day,
right.
And fats and proteins, but you don't have to keep doing that.
I remember when I got to my highest about, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, I was 230. I'm 6'2" and I was 230. I'm like, I was eating pretty clean, but if you go and you write it down, like, oh man, a cup of cashews, that's like 800 calories. And I think what was getting me is snacks. Even healthy snacks. I think right. You start to write it down, you realize, oh, I'm like eating way too many calories. So I think it is good. I mean, the bottom line is people, if they need to really lose some weight and get serious, they need to really monitor that caloric intake and make sure it's the right foods, you know,
right.
that we're talking about.
Right. And so I do have patients, you know, after, when I first meet them and I go over this, I say, you're going to keep a diary until I see you again. Okay. You're going to tell me how much you eat, what time you eat. Let's see, what you eat, how much you eat, what time you go to bed, what time you wake up. And that kind of gives me a little something to go with. It's a springboard, so I can discuss, wow, did you know that you could substitute this for that? And why are you eating a snack? Why do you need a snack? Is it out of boredom or are you actually hungry? And okay, well, the boredom, that's another issue dealing with that.
Right.
But if you're eating nutrient dense foods and you have plenty of the vegetables with fiber, it should carry you through. The more the higher the amount of nutrients for food, okay, for calories.
All right. Now we're going to delve into a few more important topics. Again, I'm here with Dr. Paul Brillhart. You can find his book on Amazon.com, The Lost Art of Fasting in a Gluttonous World. And I know people have a lot of questions for you, but I think the book will answer, you know, a lot of those questions.
Right.
And I don't know, if we've touched on a lot. Hey. Go ahead. You want to enter?
The other way is through my site, Dr.
Oh, yes.
DrPaulBrillhart.com. And that should link to the page at the store.
Dr. Paul Brillhart. And I think they can see our names on this recording. It'll be in the title. We might even be able to put in YouTube in the description. And again, Dr. Paul does not have an open practice. So as much as I'd like him to take me on too, I know his client list is already full. But you know, so much information. If you go back and you listen to what we've been talking about, and I don't know if you had any additional thoughts, you know, kind of on your mind when we went through, you know, we talked about what diet is best, obviously getting clean, whole foods, clean meat, clean dairy. I mean, it's kind of hard, but even raw dairy to me is ideal because the pasteurization process kills a lot of enzymes and a lot of important nutrients. But I don't know if that's practical for anyone. But maybe on that note, what would you say, you know, watch your calories, whole foods, get active. But what do you do with dairy? That's always been my tough one. If I can't find raw because, you know, organic, yeah. But it's, you're just drinking a lot of lactose. You're drinking a lot of sugar water.
No, with the dairy, well, gee, are you drinking milk? Or are you eating cheese? Or are you doing both. Other, yogurt or kefir? Absolutely. You need to go organic. That's an absolute. As far as going raw, yeah, that's not practical for most people.
Yeah, I wish it was. I don't have a farm.
Yeah, and then, you know, you get into, you know, problems with the authorities. I mean, they try to...
they do.
They'll try to shut a lot of those operations down. But, that's another topic in and of itself. But I try to... I tell people everything in moderation. Because there are people that will say absolutely no dairy.
And it works good for some people, you know, do what works best for you.
Yeah. And so I just with that, because like what I said is the peoples around the world that have been, you know, they've been living off of dairy their whole life. And even some of these, centenarians, okay, well, they're having some dairy protein in there as well. They're eating cheeses and kefirs and yogurts and things. But, you know, all of those diets vary quite a bit, but it's a very interesting topic. I try to moderation in all. And my gosh, you just feed the body. You put the vehicle in the, you drive into the gas station and you're going to put good fuel in. You're not going to just say, put whatever in. Okay, well, no, this vehicle only runs on super unleaded. By the way, don't use the diesel. Okay, no, it's okay. Whatever fuel, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I try to just focus in on doing away with all the fake food, try to get whole foods, nutrients. And then I try to get them to change their thinking about how they eat. And I tell them, don't be rigid. If you're rigid, you break. Okay. Be flexible.
Yeah.
And if you want to change lanes, you go from the carb lane to the fat lane or back, or if you want to take a break off the side of the road for a while, get back on the highway and go.
Yeah.
But think of this as a diet. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So again, I tell my patients that I'm a driving instructor. I give driving lessons and this is it. I teach you how your vehicle operates. This is what it is. So if you stay with the basics, stay with the,
stay in the lane. Yeah.
Okay. Nutrient dense foods. So,
and you mentioned a word, centurion, right? So those who have made
centenarian.
Yeah. They've made it to 100 years old. And I don't know if I think I sent you the video, but I correspond sometimes with Gary Brecka.
Yeah.
He used to be in the insurance industry and he, you know, they used to be able to pinpoint. He said something that on their study of these people who are 100, every single one of them had high cholesterol.
That's true. And I mentioned that to someone yesterday. I said, well, you know that the centenarians don't have low cholesterol.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, that's right. So is it all about cholesterol? No, it's not all about cholesterol. Cholesterol, as we mentioned, is one of the most important molecules
in the body. Yeah, but so much.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Eidelman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidelman.com. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Eidelman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidelman.com. Again, that's shaneidelman.com.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.